This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas we can find on the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
You know what's definitely a bad idea? Not putting your cell phone on silent, which I had definitely not done.
Shame.
And I'm going to take a moment
I was going to say, as I also say shame
and definitely am doing something unrelated on my phone. Other than silencing. We are in rare form today, folks.
This is going to be great.
Over here in the shame corner, I'm Gabriel Rubina.
And I'm Sarah Shackett.
And I'm Zach Valenti.
And thank you guys so much for tuning into No Bad Ideas. As always, we're going to begin the show today with a workshop where we're going to try to turn a bad idea, just like an example of human beings acting in a way that is so...
Just counterproductive,
so against their survival instincts, so against, like, good judgment
morality.
And common sense.
They're bad.
And we're going to try to turn those bad ideas into something that even approaches a good story. We're going to do, like, if we had to turn this into a story pitch for a movie or a book, how would we do it?
Yeah, and we only have 30 minutes, and we have not seen this idea before.
And you know it's true.
Me and Sarah have not seen the idea.
Yes, I have seen
the
idea.
He is.
Because I've brought it. And if you had seen it, you wouldn't be here. Because it's bad.
Okay.
All right.
Are you ready?
No.
Excellent. Okay. Just how I like it.
You'll find the link to the idea in the show's description. So if you'd like to follow along,
we highly recommend checking out if there are pictures or videos.
Oh, there's a picture.
Okay, great.
I don't know if you want to see this picture.
No,
it is not safe for
I
work.
Don't. But
the
Zach,
following
what is, the, what is
not
this?
Safe for work. If
no, great.
Yeah, just
what is the what
genital
is the,
trigger warning?
Oh boy.
Oh,
what
okay.
What is the source
now
of
I'm
this
awake?
Bad
okay.
idea?
So the source of this bad idea was originally. So right now I am on the CBC radio homepage, cbc.ca.
Okay.
Looks like a Canadian
broadcasting company.
Broadcasting company.
Okay.
But I got here via Reddit/r/offbeat. The weird, sad, and funny news purveyed by the users of Reddit.
All right, come on.
The weirdest place I have been
lay
spending
into
time.
Us. Let's
right.
do this thing.
Quebec play about a man and his penis.
Mm-hmm.
Fined $500 over fake cigarette.
Okay.
Quote. Yeah,
those
I know.
Are all,
hang
those
hang
are
tight.
All
hang
words?
Tight. Hang tight. A quote. The penis is okay. Killing people is okay. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things is okay. But smoking sage cigarettes is not okay. Then there's a photo of a man sitting next to a lady in a penis suit.
Oh, it's, wait,
it's
okay.
A lot.
Okay. So this isn't a one-act play. This
I don't know.
Or a one-man play, rather.
I've already got an idea for how to turn this into
a Quebec
a story,
theater
keep going.
Is fighting for its, quote, freedom of creation after getting fined for $500 because an actor smoked a fake cigarette while having an argument with a woman in a giant penis suit.
Great.
During a December 3rd performance of Conversations avec mon pénis.
Sorry, why?
Exactly what it says on the tin. There is no false advertisement.
That theater fucking needs that $500, yo. If that's what they're doing.
Yeah, bro. Okay. So during this December 3rd performance of Conversation avec mon Bini, at the Premier Act Theater in Quebec City, two health inspectors showed up and issued the fine for smoking in a public place after actor Marc-André
I'm going to fuck this name up, but Thibault lit up on stage. Oh, such beautiful names. Marc Gourdeau, the theater's artistic director, says he will likely contest the fine, arguing that you can't violate provincial anti-tobacco rules when there's no actual tobacco involved.
Right.
The prop cigarette, he said, was filled with sage. It's an herb, Gourdeau told As It Happens host Karloff. It's quite inoffensive. A play about, quote, the male condition. Now, the province disagrees. According to Quebec's Tobacco Control Act, any product that does not contain tobacco and is intended to be smoked is considered to be tobacco.
Wait.
Smoking a sage cigarette in a theater that is open to the public is effectively outlawed and punishable by a fine, a Quebec Health Ministry spokesperson told As It Happens in an email.
Mm-hmm. Canadians, am I right?
I mean, oh man, there's a picture of him hugging the penis coming up. That is, the penis has quite a face on as it's getting hugged. Anyway,
sure.
Inspectors of the ministry enforce the law as voted by elected officials. The costly moment in the play happens when the protagonist becomes stressed during a heated argument with his own genitalia, played by Mary Lee Picknell.
Wait, is the penis is played by
a woman?
Great, cool. Let's keep
yeah,
going.
Just to be clear, I don't know how she or they identify, but that is certainly what one might read. The idea of the play is to talk about some part of the male condition, the conflicts between impulsion and what you have in your head, the way you feel about sex when you're a teenager or when you get to 60 years old, Gourdeau said. It's a very good play, by the way. freedom of creation. Whether Premier Act will succeed in fighting this fine depends on how the law is interpreted, he said. If it's meant to protect people in public spaces from noxious substances, then, he says, Premier Act is innocent. If the other idea is that we don't want to show people smoking for a social matter, we say the object of art is not to help government improve that kind of compartment, he said. It's the freedom of creation.
Mm-hmm.
He noted the theater has presented other plays with simulated violence, hard drug use, and even murder, all without running into any trouble with the law. Even the bulging, vein-covered phallus in Conversations with My Penis pose no problem. So we see people shooting heroin and all kinds of drugs, and that's okay, but faking smoking, that's not correct? I have a problem with that, Gourdeau said. The penis is okay, killing people is okay, all kinds of things are okay, but smoking cigarettes, not okay. But then again, the penis doesn't smoke. She drinks coffee, he said.
Okay. What a way to end the article. Like, hats off to the writer of that article.
So I have three things.
You're not, first off, you are not allowed to do like a Mr. Smith Goes to Washington style contesting things with someone in a penis suit. Like, that's not okay. We're not doing it.
Set a timer before
I'm so excited,
I make my case.
I am so excited. Today is a good day to be Zach. And start.
Episode title, today is a good day to be Zach. Okay.
Oh.
So number one, I don't know about you guys, but I want to see this play. This play sounds dope.
Let's go.
Like, no, and like, here's the thing. Like, this could be, I think that I have sat in college through the bad version of this.
I have sat through bad versions of this play.
But the fact that somebody would have, like, at least the amount of wherewithal to just kind of take the interesting sidestep of, we're going to have what sounds like a female-identifying person playing the embodiment of maleness. I'm like, you're thinking about this.
Yeah, no, you're being, as the article went on, I was like, oh, okay, there is some thought in here behind the obviously confrontationally silly presentation of it. This is also the first.
You haven't even seen the costume.
It's super realistic. Oh boy.
Oh,
anyway.
Okay.
In a gross way.
This is also, I was just, as to get this thought out of my head, the first episode of No Bad Ideas where I really want to phone a friend, because we have friends who work in theater.
Yes,
and
we
like
do.
I have a suspicion that the issue here is not a creative one or even a health and safety one, but like a fire issue.
Possibly, yes. But second thing that I was going to say, oh, the poetic irony and the poetic beauty of the thing that is problematic is not the penis, but the other incredibly phallic-shaped thing.
Right.
Oh, man.
Like, you know, just sort of like, let's appreciate the synchrony of that.
Yeah, no, that has a poetry to it. I won't deny.
And then, okay, so here's my, like, the initial thing that comes to mind for how to deal with this and turn it into a good story. I think that it would need to sort of be, like, there is a small theater that is run by some, you know, meek, mild-mannered person.
Oh, okay.
And we're probably
following
them as they sort of like, you know, they've been running this theater for like 20 years. They inherited from their father, who inherited from their grandfather.
They love theater, but they've never kind of felt like they belonged. They feel safer behind the box office.
Right. And, you know, and they're kind of like stuck with there. And then like one day it's sort of like, like, you know, the letter comes in that is like, congratulations, like you have been chosen by like the Canadian Arts Council to host this like super like the it guy that is like the new hotness in the world of theater. And like, you know, like we're going to give you like a grant to put on their play, and it's going to run for like 6 months, and it's going to be amazing.
I saw the season of Slings and Arrows.
And so our protagonist is like, boom, yes, on it. This is going to be great. This is going to be amazing. This is going to finally give my theater the respectability and the dignity and just the like gravitas.
I can like redo all of the things that look silly from the 70s and 80s because I haven't been able to do any work on this theater since then.
Exactly. And then, you know, like the theater person that is like the young hot theater thing in Canada rolls in, and they're probably, you know, fly as all hell and like, you know,
leather
artiste. And you know, it's like, all right, Mr. New Young Hot Theater Hotness, what are we doing? And Mr. Young Hot Theater Hotness is like, conversations avec mon, you know, mon penis. And our protagonist is kind of like, no, how about like,
anything else?
About something else. And the guy's like, no, this is it. Like, challenging play about like confrontations of masculinity and like, you know, the male ego and the male identity. And the guy's like, that all sounds great, but like, how about something where every photo is not literally a like, you know, penis on stage?
I really don't want my costume department to have to make a penis suit.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, well, maybe we could like, just like, maybe it can be like a surprise. Maybe like, you know, the photos can show like the other actors. And it's like, no. The title needs to include the word penis. And the penis has to be on stage at all times.
The penis stays in the picture?
The penis stays in the picture.
Oh, boy.
And then, you know, like this poor guy who owns the theater is sort of in this place of like,
how do I sabotage this?
Like, how do I get out of this? Yeah, exactly. Like, God, like, I cannot have like my grandfather's theater be the theater that did that penis show. Like, you know, how can I ever come back from that?
Sure, sure.
And so he's scrambling to like find all kinds of things. And finally then like opening night, all of a sudden, like it dawns on him. He's like, oh my God, there's that totally BS like fire safety law. And he, you know, like
so
puts
funny.
In an anonymous
right,
call
right, right,
to the
right,
government.
So that the health inspectors just happen to be there.
Right.
Yeah, and they shut it down.
And, you know, he puts in that call that is like, hello, this is definitely my real voice. Totally not a, like, anonymous person trying to keep their identity secret.
Right.
You just use a voice filter.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
and then after that, it can sort of end up being about, like, whatever relationship. That was probably, like, the midpoint of
so
the
like
movie opening
it's
night.
It's like an arms race.
A little bit. And then, like, after
like
that, I don't
shutting
know.
Shutting it down.
Or alternatively,
or just like,
it gets to be about like him coming to actually see the play and actually respect it. And about
right. Or, yeah, and not just like the theater that he has, but the art that it holds. Yeah, I think that's...
I like this growth story. I'm sorry.
Zach. That's a way to go with it.
Yeah.
My head was going slightly to that producer's place, but like, how does like a young person, like a young trying to make a name for themselves, not like the hotness yet,
sure,
but just like up and comer rebel sort of break through the noise, and they put on the most controversial play that they could possibly
right.
think to do, and then still nothing. So they're the ones who call the health inspectors.
Oh,
and,
like, that's funny.
And try and get, like, the world of theater to rally behind their artistic intentions.
Oh, I see. And they're trying to be, like, an agent provocateur.
Yes.
Right.
Gotcha. I like that.
And it's increasingly difficult in our media and oversaturated, overstimulated.
Right, because who's paying attention to theater these days? Right.
Yeah, and it can be sort of one of those things that is, like, they went to college and they got the degree and they did the script lab and they've done, like, all the institutions.
They've written the grants. They have the space.
Right.
They, like, have the idea. They have then extrapolated the idea to be, you want sexy? Well, okay.
Right.
You know?
Right. Theater's we'll not give theater you sexy. If it's not impacting lives.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But I like yours as well, because I think yours has more room for, like, odd couple comedy kind of stuff, whereas mine is just, like, also comedic, but, like, in a slightly different way.
I mean, what's fun is you could have, like, both is good.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you can have the world where it's, like, you know, like, the sort of prudish, like, you know, intergenerational playhouse owner is just, like, trying to figure out how he can wrestle this penis out of his life.
And then, I mean, like, and you know,
the penis people are, like, are trying to get as much controversy as possible. Yeah. And, like, you know, they're, like, leaving the number.
Which is what,
this idea.
They're, like, leaving the number for the, like, health inspector on their, like, kitchen table. Like,
right.
Like, they're, like, in cahoots with this attempt to, like,
those health inspectors are going to be so confused.
No, but I really like that adjustment of, like, it's not the meekish owner that calls the health inspectors, but it's the, like, the people that are running the play themselves.
Right, because they're like, trying to get him to call, and he, like, won't do
it. Right, no, but then it's sort of a play about, like, how you do art in the 20th century versus how do you do art in the 21st century.
Yeah.
I like that. And, of course, you know how it has to end, of, like, the prudish theater owner goes on this arc where he thinks that he's come to the point
he's
of, like, no, I appreciate it, and, like, I embrace it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm totally fine with it. And then, for whatever reason, like, you know, like, one night, the night that, like, I don't know, the, like, the important person, the Canadian
critic,
minister of culture, the critic, whatever, like, some important night when it's important that the show go on, something happens to whoever performer plays the penis.
Oh, no.
And they're, like, knocked unconscious.
They finally, they finally make dinner for their significant other or whatever. Like, they just decide that, like, to do something else. This isn't important enough or whatever.
But, like, for whatever reason, that person is not available. And it's like, oh, no, we need someone to play the penis. Like, who, like, you know,
who has the heart?
Right. And that guy has, like, you know, and it's either like, I know every word, I'm ready to do this, or it's like, I'm totally chill, like, I'm ready, I'm committed, I'm in this. We need someone to play the penis, like I was saying, I'm going away now, like, bye-bye. And it needs to be like, no, you have to do this. No, I can't, bye. You're the only one that the penis costume fits.
That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Why would you not make the penis costume adjustable? Like, shouldn't it by definition be, like, stretchy and, like, kind of get
don't
bigger?
Think
and
kind of,
like, don't think about that too
much. You guys got 10 minutes on the cat on the clock.
That's not bad. oh, fuck.
Making some headway.
Jeez. No, like, it's just such a, like, complete, like, set of circumstances.
It's true,
that just, like, very easily suggests situations. That's funny, though.
Oh, boy.
Okay, but, like,
I'm just surprised we haven't gone down the animated angle yet.
Oh, no, I don't think
I am
saying
the hell away.
I think that way madness lies.
Yeah. No, like, there is a certain level, like, I feel that, like, you earn a certain amount of time in purgatory by making your, like, design crew be like, design me a penis costume that we can then use. You earn a much, much bigger time in purgatory when you're like, draw me a penis in an animated film that 24 frames a second.
Oh, my God.
Over and over again.
It has to be done with very specific intent. And I think that there's a level of ridiculousness about the play itself that isn't served by it being abstracted from reality in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, you want to be able to see and appreciate how ridiculous this thing looks in 24 frames, but like against like a blank stage backdrop or like in a costume shop or whatever.
Yeah. And it, or like anybody that had the misfortune of having an HBO subscription at one point and stumbling into the movie, the 2011 Your Highness, you know, to get rid of as many dicks as you can. It's just terrible.
Alternatively, I kind of like the idea of like if this is being made as a film of like. It's always like, you know, oh, Bob, come over, like, watch the costume. And like, there's like a big thing underneath the white blanket. And then they like unfurl the blanket and you get like from the camera placement, just like a little bit. And everyone's like, ooh, that looks really good. That's so realistic. And you always kind of like only ever like see like hints of it, but you never quite get to see it.
Until
everyone is always like, until they have to
take over that night.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really fun. You just show the reactions. See, that's like leaning into the medium in a way that like heightens the comedy.
Right.
Right. Because like the concept alone is funny enough.
Yeah.
We've been having a good time.
No, and like you could just sort of be like, did it have to have warts? It had to have warts.
Why are like the veins so big? Don't worry about it.
Oh man.
Right. Like and you could have sort of like fun with like someone kind of being like the only way to truly achieve a like representational idea of a penis is to go hyper specific. It can only be every penis if it is one penis.
Oh god.
Penis is
And like cut to like the theater owner being like, who are these crazy people in my workshop? Like why am I stuck with this band of like misfits?
There are so many like phallic props that you can have stand in for the penis suit while they're having these discussions. They're all smoking and like,
A question. What is their conflict outside of their theater? Is there anything that's going on as a B plot?
That's a good question.
I'm also curious about like, what is the journey that like the theater director goes on?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that we have a clear idea for the theater owner of they want to be a part of this world. They need to kind of be humbled a little bit. They're a little bit old-fashioned.
Yeah.
They need to kind of learn to take it for what it is. Yeah. They kind of need to learn that
this is someone who's been doing a lot of revivals and is like sort of what's wrong with the old standards and kind of needs to be able to look and see what's new and changing.
And kind of needs to embrace that like art has a level of like, it needs to be scary. It needs to be unsettling. It needs to be confrontational.
Yeah.
And
that,
he
like,
needs
just
to
because something
be
is
confronted
silly
by it.
Doesn't mean that there isn't thought. This is a very pretentious person, I think. Wears a lot of turtlenecks.
Either that or like just like 3-piece suits.
Oh yeah.
On like are his like casual wear.
Right. You know? But yeah, let's talk about our playwright / star / agent provocateur.
Well, I think that like. One way to go about it is kind of the like this, like this person is too much on the other extreme of things. Of they are
the
so involved,
all flash, all bang,
exactly, and probably using their like level of commitment to art to dangerously neglect other aspects
of their
life.
Yeah,
like they have like. Thousands of dollars of debt, which would be Canadian dollars, so it wouldn't actually
be that much debt.
I'm kidding.
Just kidding.
But they have like thousands of dollars of debt, and they have like a marriage that is falling apart, and they haven't paid alimony,
or you know whatever relationships that they have intended to. Maybe you know they are physically neglecting themselves in some way, like you know, always smoking and staying up too late and like just not taking care of themselves. Their journey is one of like realizing either that, you know, art is just a part and a facet of life and you need other facets in your life to make good art, or it could be one of like, you do need to confront your audience, but you're also there to teach and comfort and learning to access those other functions of art.
I like that.
Got 3 minutes.
Oh, cool.
I don't know, Zach, like, what questions do you have?
I mean, I'm just, like, always interested in where's the conflict? Can we go deeper into, like, what the, like the needs are versus the wants? Like, I feel like I go a little bit, like, textbook and, like, try to mm-hmm. fit it into that mm-hmm. Dan Harmon story circle.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we have time for a full story circle, but I think that, like, I can see very clearly that, like, this is maybe the first exciting grant our theater owner has applied for in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, New Year's resolution, just, you know what? I'm gonna do it.
Right.
And then gets way more than they bargained for.
Ooh, you know what it could be? Like, at a certain point, the theater owner could discover that, like, the young up-and-coming director chose the theater specifically because it was, like, that's, like, that old, old-fashioned, you
broke
know,
down.
Broke yeah. down place.
Right.
Like, you know, like, there is something
the
that is, like, pleasing.
Of mediocrity.
Right,
yeah.
Like, there is something pleasingly dissonant about, like, putting out something that is, like, this new
yeah.
in a place that is, like, this, like, old and...
Right. The, like, it's in the
irrelevant.
Part of Quebec with, like, a bunch of families and dogs and, like,
oh, yeah.
stuff.
right.
Yeah.
Like, the last thing that was here was, like, you know, Frozen, the kids play or something.
Yeah, I know, Wicked toured through here a while ago.
Right.
Like, which, you know, nothing against either of those.
No, both those very, shows. Very fine yeah. institutions. But I think, like, neither of which are something that, like, either of these two people would particularly respond to. I think that yeah. the theater owner wants to be, like, I want this, like, grand, majestic restaging of The Tempest.
Yeah.
And the new theater director is like, I want
conversations
that
with
is very...
my penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. I like where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Right. And so they can argue about the artistic direction of the play. The director can win for a little bit. There can be, like, angst and insecurity. The health inspector shit can come in. And
yeah.
then that's where the theater owner, like, really shines and, like, carries the director through it. And
yes.
maybe puts on the penis suit at some point.
No, and I like it because it is then inherently a dynamic that is, like, two roommates
mm-hmm.
that have to share a space. And everybody is putting on a facade of...
Yes.
We are, all have good intentions. We all care about this. But very quickly, it becomes apparent that, like, the theater director does not care about, like, the longevity of the theater after he's out of there.
Right. And the theater owner doesn't care about this person's career at all. He
not
just
at
wants
all.
To move seats and gain reputation.
Yes.
Yeah. And so they'll realize that they're using each other and then, like, realize how they can use each other positively.
Right. And there probably is something to be said for, like, whoever the actor is on stage having the conversation with the penis
yeah.
May be able to give a good talking to the director or to even both
to
of them.
To even both of them, yeah.
Of just kind of like, look, like, it's all fun and game for you guys. Like, I'm going out there every night and
yeah.
you have no idea how
scary
it is. And it's even more scary when I don't know if the people behind curtains are, you know, killing themselves back there or not going to be ready to catch me if I fall.
End time.
Oh,
nice.
Man.
Yeah, I'm proud of us. There are so many puns that we could have made and we didn't.
I'm proud of you guys too. Also, if anybody is like, hey, that sounded like really, really cool, I would watch something like that, go watch Slings and Arrows. Because
please,
this definitely.
This is mostly Slings and Arrows.
This is mostly
Darren
Slings and
Nichols
Arrows.
Yes. Was so strong in this.
Yes.
It's a great, great, great show. And definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And Canadian!
Yes.
Fitting. Well, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All right, guys. We're going to just break into the show for a quick second. Just a couple of messages to run past you before we go into the back half of the show. First of all, thank you so, so, so much to the person, to the persons, unless it's all just like one cunning person
I
that
mean,
has multiple iTunes
I was going
to
say, like, if it's if you're the mystery person, if you who we've been looking for, then thank you so much. But it sounds like there's at least a couple baker's dozens of you that have left
ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Yeah,
which really, really help us. It helps us get discovered. Yep. It helps the algorithm be nice to us.
It makes us attractive to robots. Please
also
help us.
Helps us feel good and like loved.
Guys, the reviews are so good. And it just, it makes my day that like you guys get more energy to write out of listening to this or think that the ideas are funny or what have you. It's amazing. So thank you to everyone who has left a rating and a review. And if you like this show, if you don't like this show but want to pull a fast one on some robots, please
show those stupid robots who's boss.
Rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Those robots are good robots. I promise, robots. Treat us kindly, algorithms.
No, but really, guys, we don't spend any money marketing the show because we are broke people recording this in a basement.
Yes.
We are completely dependent on word of mouth and on what the robots can do for us in terms of showing the show to other people that might love it.
But they don't do a thing until you do, and that's why we appreciate you.
Yes, we so appreciate it. And hey, if you haven't done it yet and you are listening to this and you have enjoyed our discussion today and you have enjoyed listening to some of the other bad ideas, consider taking 30 seconds out of your day to just, you know, click on that star rating and leave us a whatever you think is appropriate
haiku.
Amount of words. A haiku, that'd be great.
Yeah.
As far as the review goes.
If we get a haiku, I may read it in this section next episode.
And hey, and if after you do that, there's still sort of that like gaping void inside of you that makes you go, you have not done enough. You could still do more. Well, you're absolutely right, gaping void in this person's stomach, because you could also go to Patreon and become a recurring donor to the show. Help us to make new episodes of this show, as well as give us sort of like the flexibility to keep working on our creative projects, to keep doing things like more projects like Time Bombs, more sort of experimental things, more new and hitherto unimaginable things that we are trying to bring into the world. So
fund our bad ideas and good ideas.
And medium ideas.
No bad ideas at patreon.com/nobadideas. You can also go to our website, nobadideaspodcast.com/support. If that's easy to remember, that'll take you to the same place.
Thank you so much to the folks who are already supporters over on Patreon. We have fun 5-minute blitz edition episodes that we do for all of y'all. We would like to do more things as we get more patrons, so come on over. We promise we will try our very, very best to make it a fun time.
And hey, and if you want to make our lives a fun time,
there's a way.
Because you have an idea that you're, God, this is such a bad idea. I wish that the No Bad Ideas people would do this. In fact, I wish that they were trapped and had to do it. There was no choice in the matter.
Well,
guess what?
Now you can.
Now you can. You can sponsor an episode of No Bad Ideas. And if you do that, you can give us a No Bad Idea that we will have to grapple with for half an hour and turn it into a, or at least try to turn it into a good story.
Question marks?
And if you're interested in doing that, you should email us at fearofpublicshame@gmail.com.
That's fearofpublicshame@gmail.com.
And just put sponsor an episode on the subject line. And we'll talk. Some terms and conditions do apply, but we really, really, really would love to have the three of us forced to reckon with an outside idea and just see what we'd have to do
first.
With it. Oh, yeah.
That'd be so exciting.
Yeah, I dare you. Welcome back from the break, everybody.
This is now where we take a little bit to talk about...
Just check in with each other, see how things are.
Talk about how broken we've been.
mostly talk about how our like various creative pursuits are doing.
Are going.
Which, usually ends up in a place of talking about how broken we are inside, Zach. You're correct, but doesn't necessarily have
just
to go there.
On break, kind of.
I see. I see.
Well, guys, I think we might go there.
Okay.
Because let me just tell you about my past 24 hours.
Please, hit us.
No, my past 48 hours. I have been like behind all week on actual work, on freelance stuff, on work that the three of us are doing, on work that I'm doing, that you guys are helping me with. I've been behind on all of it. And I like had a moment yesterday where I was like, okay, I think I can, you know, clock in at my job, do that, go to bed like at 1 or midnight, and then get up like around 6, which is not the ideal amount of sleep, but it's doable. And then I'll be able to do all this editing and then come record No Bad Ideas with you guys. Game plan, great.
And just to be clear, that do all this editing, that is editing for work that we're doing.
That's work that we're doing together. Right. So like fear of public shame. Right? Like, if I don't turn this in, you guys and judge me.
Yeah, we've mentioned that we're doing an online course together.
So
I
was supposed to be editing lessons for that, but my body was like, nope.
You're going to sleep.
You're going to be unconscious for 3 more hours than you want to.
The spirit said edit. The body said hit that snooze button.
Yeah, no, if I did not hear my alarm. So then I woke up, in theory, physically more rested, but then got to be roll stressed for like the 3 hours I did have to edit at high speed and then hop on the subway and come to Brooklyn. And it's like, what the hell? On one side, yes, sleep, good. On the other side, now I don't get to enjoy my rejuvenation because I'm very mentally stressed. And it's like, being behind is the worst. That is, I don't have anything constructive to say about it.
this is the hypothesis that you are positing.
This is the thesis, really.
Okay.
That I am arguing here is that being behind sucks. I don't like it. I really don't have great ideas for how to dig myself out of being behind.
Man. I have a couple shovel digs deeper.
Wait, one second though. Like, I don't know if I'm sold this on this, like,
it's not the worst.
Being behind is the worst.
Oh, I see.
What supporting evidence do you have to back up this claim? Case number one, it is the worst. Case number two, shut your face, Regina. Case number three, or not case, exhibit, excuse me.
I will beat your face.
You know, I suddenly am I'm very compelled. This was a good essay.
I mean, you know, you want 3 supporting points, right?
That's right.
Like,
that's
what English classes have taught me. I'm so sorry. I would never do any of that. But yes, so that's what I'm struggling with this week is I've sort of felt like I'm in a hole. And holidays are coming up. I will, in theory, have quote unquote vacation time, but that's like really that means family time. And that doesn't mean like I get to catch up on stuff. It means I have to put aside the stuff I'm worried about and not spend time on it, which will make me more stressed. The rant continues. I'm just going to do this periodically.
Yeah.
You are invited and welcome. This is your show. And I just keep hearing the Radiohead quote that you've implanted in my brain, Urbina.
It hurts
because we do it to ourselves. And I'm like, I have also been in the perpetually behind train life because I feel like I'm in that place where there keeps being a legitimately good reason to add another car to that train.
Yeah.
And so then I'm just like increasingly one car behind while I'm already behind schedule in this strange locomotive metaphor.
And the
really
worst part is that, like,
anywhere fast.
At a certain point, you're kind of like, something needs to come off.
Right.
Like, you know, like,
no, this is all
this
happened.
Train is officially out of coal.
Yes.
If, like, something does not get left behind,
then
this entire train is not pulling up into the station, and we're going to be stranded in the middle of the desert, and there's no food, and there's no water, and those vultures are, like, circling. So we shouldn't do that. We got to unhook one of the cars. inevitably what happens, you're kind of going, well, this car I have a contract for definitely needs to get into town.
Right.
This car I promised this other person that, like, I would bring it into town.
Right.
This car is feeding me for the next week, so right, I shouldn't leave that one off. This car is this incredibly promising thing that could lead to future work with people that I'm very, very interested in working with. And oh, look, here is the car of, like, my personal project that is the song of my soul and my hopes and my dreams and the artist that I want to, like, be in the future. Unhooks last car. Right. Shoves it off.
Right. Right. Oh, is there something behind it? Oh, that's just my physical well-being.
Right.
Yeah, no. That one always gets left behind until, like, it sneaks up behind you like it did for me last night. I was just like, hi.
Hugs. Right.
It takes another track and then, like, careens into you.
Yeah,
right.
I know. Like, I feel that, like, if we just, like, took the metaphor to its, like, you know, natural conclusion.
Please, that is
the car that, like, then, like, the band of outlaws finds and then, like, you know, hooks it up to their own engine, pulls up next to you, and then robs every other car. And you're like, man, I really shouldn't have left that car lying around, like, unsupervised.
They wouldn't have been able to get to me without
it. Right, right. Yeah, otherwise it would have been, like, fast and safe.
No, and this is the thing that's happened is either, like, personal project, song of your soul, stuff that you're not accountable to other people gets left behind.
Yeah.
Or, like, I've been, like, very consciously trying to be better about my day job because having money is good. And that means that, like, the cars haven't gotten unhooked, but they're missing wheels now of, like, the stuff that I care about. Both stuff that we're doing and other stuff. And yeah, I don't, at a certain, like, the conventional advice and the stuff that, like, normally you grapple with is just like, I'm just going to have to let this go be on the back burner for a while.
Yeah. And if at a certain point it means that you need to rebuild the car from scratch,
then that's what you do. But I'm curious if you guys have any thoughts about, like, trying to figure out how to repair cars as they're moving, like stuff that, you know, you are on the hook for and behind on.
Right.
One thing I found is just, like, communicating with everybody involved and, like,
right,
in all the ways that I've been behind on this course that we're working on, just like letting you guys know as early and as often as I can. Has definitely not felt good on one level because, like, I hate admitting that,
like,
I'm behind with you guys. And also, like, in all the ways that, like, I failed to do that with my collaborator last weekend on this other course that I was doing, like, it just, it makes a world of difference to live in explicit reality than in, like, just kind of, like, you know,
wibbledy wibbledy zone.
Right.
Yeah. No, and I think that, like, there absolutely is something to picking up the phone and kind of being, hi, Deliverance, I'm the guy that's bringing in the train. Look, we are literally, like, running out of gas. Is it okay if I dump 20% of the cargo of your train?
So that I can make
it in. So that I can bring in 80% of it. Because if I try to get 100% of it there, chances are that this train is going to derail. And sometimes it's true. Like, sometimes people respond to that with, that sounds like a personal problem. Click. And you're like, oh shit, I'm going to go cry in a corner now for, like, 1 minute because that's all the time that I have to cry because I need to get this thing moving again.
And inevitably, like, the thing that you bring in that case will be at 80% because physically that's what's possible. Yes.
But a lot of the other times, people will kind of be like, yes, absolutely. Like, bring in what you can and we'll go from there. There's other people that can do. Like, there is, you know, we said this day because we thought that that was convenient. But, like, if we can't do this today, we can move up the thing that we were going to do on Thursday and do that instead. People, I think, really, really respect a notion of, I am taking this seriously and respectfully enough that I am going to communicate problems while there is still space and time to do something about those problems, instead of just kind of showing up when you were supposed to have something finished and kind of be like, da la la la, nothing is done, help.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it's really tough because there is like an inherent level of fear in that, of just like, I didn't do what I said I would do, and I don't want people to feel mad at me or think less of me. And it's just like a reflex that you have to overcome. I feel that every single time I tell you guys, like, the train's being stupid, I'm going to be late. Like, it's a little bit scary and I feel bad about it, but like, also it's important that you know.
But my God, like I don't think people just starting out realize the difference that just a little text like that can make versus radio silence.
Yeah.
And like the, you know, just the concern that can creep in about like, wait, like, did you leave? Like, are you okay? You know, and like, there's that. And then there's also just like, oh, cool. Like, now we know there's this much time to do other things and we're never short on things to do. I think like you guys have mopped me up off the floor a number of times that like either there's been like a sort of curveball like from like people we're working with, or like I've like made a, you know, sort of like in the Gob Bluth like meme, like I've made a horrible mistake or something like that. That just like the work comes in, what, because you're inevitably going to hit a mistake or like sort of at some level like fail.
Yeah.
That's why I love the new Gimlet show without fail, because it's just clear that like, without fail, you're going to fail at some point.
Yes.
And it's like, how are you going to be? Who are you going to be? What are you going, how are you going to behave in those situations? Yeah. Like when it's not working and it's not necessarily easy. I don't know. I like personally, when I look back, like at all those moments that feel like nightmare, you know, periods of time, like I also couldn't imagine like being who I am today without having gone through those.
Hmm.
So, you know, as much as I try to avoid train wrecks, there is something to the, like, who you get to discover yourself as you're, like, finding out you can, like, run really fast on top of trains and jump between cars.
Right. You know, I think that there's also something to be said for we've talked about, we all met because we all took classes together.
Yeah.
And we took classes with a professor who was infamous on having a hardliner, old school stand about, when I tell you that the paper is due on Thursday, I mean the paper is due on Thursday. And when I say due, I mean I will not accept anything
right
past.
And when I say 4 p.m., I mean that the bucket gets taken away.
Right.
Right. This is a professor that locked the doors to classrooms so that you could not be late unless you had given notice.
Yes. And who sort of kind of said, like, I expect a certain level of work and I expect a certain level of seriousness and a certain level of professionalism. And most of the other professors that I took in college that really left a mark in me and that really made me kind of go like, fuck yeah, like that was a great professor and I learned a shit ton from them, all had similar, fuck you, give me my work on time. If you don't have like, you know, if you're not here in class, I want to see your doctor's report about how you were dying in like a hospital bed.
Which is not to say that like they were unreasonable, especially with advance notice. Like, I remember one of the scariest times I've been was like going to that professor and being like, I am going out of state for a holiday, and so I don't know if I'm going to be in your class on time because I'll be traveling. Is that cool? And she was like, yeah, it's fine.
Whereas there was one time where I made it to the third round of interviews. This is the alternative. This is in somewhere in the multiverse.
Uh-huh.
Zach rage quit the film major to be a PR person at this like fancy ass company that had this like crazy program where you'd like work in every department, like in all their offices around the world. And I like made it to the last round of the interviews. They were going to like drive me down to New York, and it conflicted with one of our courses. So it's like, can I miss this day? And she's like, well, sometimes in life you have a choice.
Yes!
Wow. I was like, holy shit. That is such a Janine move.
And I chose.
And I'm glad you did.
I'm glad you did too.
Me too.
But I think that there is something to be said for a college professor kind of going, I expect this level of delivery, and I expect this level of on-timeness, and I expect this level of, fuck you, where's my work?
Yeah.
Because this is a controlled setting. Because
yes.
This is a setting
the
where...
The worst thing that happens is you get a low grade.
And also kind of a setting where it's like, I know that you have food that you can get.
Yeah.
I know that you have board that you can get. I know that there is only so much that can happen on the base level of the hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
That can interfere with your ability to do this paper to me. To do this paper for me.
Yeah.
Whereas... And I feel that like we have kind of taken a lot of that programming out with us into the real world, where it's not a controlled scenario.
No.
Where sometimes it is, I cannot deliver on this thing because of some major life event, some major problem, some other big impossible
interfering force, yeah.
Predict interfering force, exactly. And we, I think, can, while we also can be better about being on top of everything.
Yes.
That is always a thing that we, I think, can work on. And I think that we are constantly trying to do better at that. We can also, I think, like be a little bit better about kind of realizing this train hit a mountain that nobody knew was here. And the fact that the train is now going to be late has more to do with the mountain than with the quality of the train. Whereas I think that we can sometimes end up feeling a little bit like, this train should have been better.
Yeah,
what
stupid
a failure
train.
Of a train.
Yeah.
How did I not know? Like, I should have prepared for mountains.
Can I ask a different question? Because
yes,
one of the
please.
Things, let's continue to belabor this metaphor, that I feel like hasn't happened in a really long time is the train's been able to go in for repairs. I feel
right.
like this train has been running for 2 years and hasn't, like, gotten an oil change.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, in order for things to happen on time, there are certain moments where you kind of have to take time
yeah.
to not be on. And I'm looking ahead at my 2019. Unfortunately, I was very smart. And I was like, I'm going to take a week around my birthday and go not be here. So I know that that's coming
nice.
Down the road, but it like took me 2 years to figure that out, that was like, I'm not going to be able to do that unless I have a ticket.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm wondering if you guys, how you guys think about taking vacation time, or blocking out time for yourselves, and you know, whether it is something you, like on what cadence do you feel that that's necessary?
More often than it happens is the cadence at which it's necessary.
Fair. Mm.
No, and I think that I am very kind of guilty about kind of going, oh, this is awesome. Like, I have a week coming up where, like, this project is going to be done and this project mm-hmm. is going to be done. And this freelance gig doesn't start until, like, a week later. And you know what? Like, there's... I'd have... enough money in my bank account, and like I know that I have things coming up where I don't feel like I need to be pounding the pavement.
Uh-huh.
This is gonna be a great week too, and that's where everything goes off the rails, because then my brain kind of goes, this is gonna be a great week to catch up on that script
yeah.
that I was supposed to be writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, and unfortunately it half-asses that in the worst way possible. Because that week gets filed as, like, time off while also being utilized towards something that is not only work, but work that I was already feeling guilty about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has other problematic ramifications in that work that I want to be taking seriously keeps being mislabeled as something that you do when you have time, as
yeah.
opposed to things that you
this
make time
for. This happens to me
for.
All the time, and it's led to me, like, not having weekends for a year.
Yeah. And that is really, really bad. And historically, I've sort of given myself the week between Christmas and New Year's off for the past 4 years. And that is kind of like the one week where I kind of go, I am not looking at things. I'm not writing things. I'm not thinking about things. I'm not working about things. I am on vacation.
Yeah.
And historically, that has sort of been like the most effectively revitalizing time. But it has, since about 2014, only really happened for like that one week every year.
I think I just like stress.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean...
You like it?
I just like... I think there are reasons that I don't like it, but I think when I look at my behavior, I have like opportunities to take time off, and that is a privilege. And there's been a couple times this year where like I was in therapy and we were talking about mindfulness and how I don't really have any of it in my life at one point. And so I just like flipped a switch, and for a month I just took a day a week of just total silence and aloneness. And that was amazing. And then like I got bored like a month later, just, or not bored, but just like the burnt outness that sort of prompted feeling like that was necessary
went away.
Was sure. Yeah, it was like revitalized. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, I'm actually finding this sort of mindfulness and flow in the, like, you know, the quote unquote worst days. And I think, you know, I definitely find like some refuge and freedom in my my relationships, particularly my sort of, you know, dating humans, and just like getting outside of my head, in contact with others is you know, like whether it's creatively, whether it's socially, I think that there is a strain of extroversion in me that gets energy from that. But then there's also a part of me that loves alone time and just like cherishes living in a basement where I can just like jump up and down and dance and be completely alone and like, you know, pull my curtains and just be the little hobbit of Bushwick.
Aww.
And just hole up with Tiffany, who sometimes I even feel like I need a break from. I'll just sit out in the like little stairs area up to the backyard that we've got here and just like watch the wind through the trees and just, you know, get some fresh air without really leaving home. And like in those moments, I feel like I can find a vacation in 15 minutes and it's not much of one. But I also feel like at this moment in my life, I wouldn't have it any other way.
It sounds like you have great people and strategies to help you work through that, Zach. And
absolutely.
I think that like, that is,
aside from the two of us, we only make it worse.
Yeah.
We just, you know, exacerbate enablers. All the problems.
I couldn't be me without you guys. Aww. And I just like, yeah, I can't imagine it any other way. Or I could, and it's not pretty.
So are you saying that it's still a good day to be Zach?
Yeah. Future. This has been No Bad Ideas. Produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks. See you next week.